is gun control through the ruse of for the children. But in police states, children are murdered because parents can't shoot back. If gun control is for the children, how much did it benefit the Jewish and Gypsy children of World War II Germany? Think it can't happen here? Think again. Hitler was democratically elected. Brought to you by Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, jpfo.org.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field.
Do I get a field?
They didn't hear.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight here on Sweet Liberty. It is Tuesday, and it is the 28th of June in the year 2005, and Alan Watt is back with us again tonight. And I was doing last-minute preparations. Alan, are you there with us, honey?
I am, yeah.
Yes. What I'd like you to do, if you would, is so that I can get a tape and get it in and everything. Would you give our listeners, folks, we're going to be talking about Alan's book, Cutting Through, tonight. I think I was down a little low there. We're going to be talking about Cutting Through, and we're going to zero in on Revelations. And so, Alan, would you give them your address, your contact information while I'm...
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there's actually three books, one, two, and three. And the last one goes into some of the history of priesthoods and the bankers, because they do go hand in hand all down through the thousands of years that we know of. And I try and give you the documentation, that the scanty documentation that is available, and I have found enough to put it in a book and show you this correlation between religion and money. But if anyone wants either one, two, or three, Cutting Through, they're $25 each, and payable by postal, international postal order, which you can get at your post office. And you've got to remind them that it's international. The address is Alan Watt, which is W-A-T-T.
Alan, could you speak up a little louder?
Yeah.
Thank you. Even before we came on air, I noticed it was a little low.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's Alan Watt, W-A-T-T, and the address is Site 41, which is S-I-T-E 41, Box 4, Astaire, like Fred Astaire, only with an E. E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Astaire, Ontario. And the postal code is P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. That's Peter, 3, Elizabeth, 4, Nora, 1, Canada. And I'll get a new bunch made up. I've sent off all the ones that got made up already. They're all out there. And I'm getting another bunch made up from the master set. You will enjoy this because I don't think it's been put. The correlations have been put so precisely before. All knowledge, as they say, is scattered, deliberately so, I think, because I don't see why authorized historians who have access to archives, as opposed to public libraries, why wouldn't they give us this correlation between money, the system of money, the money which creates standing armies, which then go and conquer other countries to enforce the same money system on them with the debt and all the rest of it, and the priesthoods who basically their purpose is to control the minds of the people so that they'll go along with it. And it's still going on today as we force Muslim countries to accept this term called democracy, a term, by the way, which changes definition every 25 years, because the democracy of today is different from that 50 years ago, and is different from the one that they had in Britain in the 1800s. At that time, only the nobility could vote. People without property had no say in anything.
That was the truth even in the Young America.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was only landowners, and even then they specified a certain acreage before you could
actually
go and vote.
Under the Constitution.
Yes.
You had to be a landowner.
That wonderful document written by lawyers that you could drive buses through.
Yeah.
So everything is a scam, and of course, even prior to the revolution, there were international meetings in Europe where the bankers and the top front men for the bankers got together, and they needed a shining knight, you know, in armor that would lead the world into their system, believing it was for the people. And they couldn't use England because London had pillaged half the world and stole and robbed and so on. And they couldn't use France because it did the same thing. So they decided to create a brand new one, and people fell for it, of course. There's more mythology involved in the founding than reality. But that was their Novus Ordo Seclorum, their New World Order. That's the motto, and the U.S. is actually doing what it was created to do,
well,
which was to bring this in.
And think about it, they referred to America as the New World.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, every symbol of the U.S. Federal government, including the Great Seal, both sides, is ancient Egyptian. Even prior to Egyptian, the same symbols were used in Sumer. So this is an ancient brotherhood going stretching back many, many thousands of years, using their symbols openly in front of the people, who generally never inquire as to what they actually mean. You know, it's the oddest thing even to see Washington's monument built like an Egyptian obelisk. Dedicated to a god, that's why they raised the obelisks. A human being had achieved godhood. That's what apotheosis means. And here they erect one in Washington, and the average American doesn't ask the question, well, why would they put an Egyptian obelisk for Washington in this so-called Christian country? Yeah. So the signs are right in front of us, you know. Hello?
I'm listening. I had a call from a very nice man today. Uh-huh. And he said how much he enjoyed our broadcast, but he said, I just don't understand why the program before yours and after yours always comes in so good. I hear this from so many people, Alan, that he has to listen so closely to be able to hear it.
Yeah.
But he said that, you know, that he knew that the Bible was true.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked, and I mentioned, you know, the King James Version, and mm-hmm. and that, what's his name, Francis Bacon, was
yeah.
one of the editors. Who was Francis Bacon? He certainly was an insider.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think people get the idea that, I don't know why, because I've said it a jillion times, I know that there's truth in that book. They have to give us truth.
Yeah.
But there's so much, so it's all mingled up with the lies.
Yes.
And the contradictions. Yeah. And, you know, that is the one thing that it ceases, doesn't cease to confuse me, I guess, is that people can believe that the infallible word of God is contradictory.
Yes.
And it is contradictory. There are so many contradictions.
Well, that is the technique of mind control. It's to give the person the ability to hold two opposing opinions on the same subject in their head at the same time.
That, and both of them being true.
That's right, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they'll argue to the fight to the death for to defend either contradiction.
Well, as I told you just before we went on the air, I really wanted to read, you know, the book last night and get into where you were talking about Revelations.
Uh-huh.
And after about 5 minutes, I crashed, working out in that hot sun.
Yes.
And the good exercise, it really helps you sleep. But and you said you haven't read it yourself.
Yeah, I read it. I mean, I wrote it.
I know you wrote it.
I never recheck anything once I've written it.
Yeah.
So there'll be a few typo errors. I didn't use a computer, and I watched my fingers rather than what I was writing. So excuse any typo errors that you come across, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to make a note?
Read it either, so.
You want me to make a note of it if I find them as I'm
sure,
reading?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can't be bothered.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us some of what you wrote? You said you don't have a copy there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, Alan, how are you going to make copies for your new people who...
Oh, no, I've got a master copy, but that's...
Oh, but you don't want to mess with the master copy.
Yeah, you get one wrinkle on that, and they can't go through the machine, you know.
Well, that maybe we'll have to do it another time, though, because
mm-hmm.
I haven't read it, so there aren't places that I can refer to.
Yeah.
But can you, some of the places that you, some of the symbology that you gave in the book, can you recall? What's Revelations?
Yeah, it's all astral theology. It's the ancient priesthoods, we don't know how far back they stretch, but we know it's way before Sumer, 5000 BC. They already had all of the major planets charted. They had the stars, the constellations, and so on named. Many of the stars charted. They knew when certain stars would rise. At what time, in fact, it was so exact, they knew what time it would rise for the first time in a set period. They basically wrote their plan into the constellations rising and setting, which constellations of the zodiac follow which ones, and they used that terminology even. To do with well, it's like animals chasing each other in a constant circle. They wrote elaborate stories for each part of the story for the zodiac, and of course, when people are trained to believe these are actual people that lived on Earth, it's very difficult to get that out so that they can see what it really is, especially if they've been trained from a very, very young age to believe that these are very real people, you know. And in the book, I used an old chart, an astrology chart, in fact. That's how they couched that back in the 1500s. They were studying astronomy, but they used astrology as an exoteric cover. And in that particular zodiac, you'll even see... have you got it in front of you?
Yeah, I've got the book. Where would I go?
Go to that zodiacal chart that's there.
Do you know where it is?
If you flick through it, it's the whole page is the zodiac. It's all symbols and animals and, you know.
Oh, yeah, I've already gone by that. It's up towards the front more?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, every religion that's ever been and the stories concerning the individual...
Oh, yeah, this is this whole page?
Yeah.
And then you've got the names, Baal, Sadi, God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Baal, now who are all these people?
These are all the same people. It's all titles to the sun, you know. It's titles to the sun at different periods of the year.
Baal means Lord?
Lord, and it can also mean sun, because it all revolves around the sun, you know. The sun being born in the morning. Prior to that, you get the coming of the sun. The color is purple. That's before dawn, and like the song goes, in the deep purple dawn, you know.
In the deep purple.
That's the royal color, and that's why royalty is then set above the people. This is a system. The zodiac is a system of the system that you live in.
Are you saying system or?
Yeah, system. Yep.
System.
Yep.
Well.
And so before that, you get the royalty, the dawn. The Greeks called it Aurora, you know. And Aurora was the goddess of the dawn. She was dressed in purple as well. And purple is the royal color for British royalty and royalty all over the world. Because they come, in a sense, before the system. They are pre-existent. Their system is pre-existent before the sun rises. That's what it means. And then, of course, as the sun goes through its phases during the day, they give it a different title. He's a young lion in the morning, and of course he's a full-grown lion at midday, and that's really one of the titles of Ra, Almighty Ra.
A lion.
He has such power and fire. So he's a full-grown adult male, basically, generally pictured as a lion. And then, of course, towards sundown, he's an older lion who sheds his blood for the world, which is, of course, the sunset. The sky turns red. So every day, the god of the world gives his life for the world. You know. It's that simple.
And who is the god of the world?
Well, you can take your pick, but there's many names for the same thing in different cultures. Lucifer, of course, is a light bringer, and many of the esoteric sects that coexist inside the Christian sects and always have done in their own private rituals will have Lucifer as their god, meaning the light bearer, you see. Whereas the average Christian who's taken everything at face value, they're in the dark. They're still in the dark. They haven't seen the light, you see. That's what that means. So, as we're being good little Christians, we're also being mocked by the people who run Christianity. And that's why all of the Pied Piper leaders you get, the TV evangelists, the superstars, you might say, multimillionaires, have their own private meetings with Freemasonry. And Billy Graham's a 33rd degree Mason, and I'm sure all the rest of them are too. And they have their own private esoteric meaning for everything.
I forgot to tell you that I got a response. Remember that article about the Sanhedrin being reestablished, which you said you don't think has ever not been?
Yeah.
And that would probably be so, but they're bringing it out in the open now. And one of the courts that they're going to be establishing, the first one in Israel, are the Noahide courts.
Yeah.
And that one will be established in the U.S. And remember, I sent that note to Billy Graham and asked if he and his colleagues have, if there's been any opposition to this.
Uh-huh.
Well, I got a mail back from somebody who said, Billy asked me to respond to you.
Uh-huh.
And he is very ill. he's evidently, you know, on his way out.
Uh-huh.
But he just didn't have time to answer me personally, and he hasn't done any research on it, so there's nothing he had to say about it.
No, which is ridiculous, because these guys have known about these laws for years.
Yep.
And Billy's been over to Israel who knows how many times. And his job, of course, is to bring Christianity together with this religion based in Israel, which will be the world court as well, you know.
The world court?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now all these boys are, they lie because that's their job.
Well, you know, Alan, from doing chapter 16 and 17 of the book and rereading I think it's The Cause of World Unrest.
Yeah.
And all of the rituals that this guy brought out, and actually from Albert Pike's book,
uh-huh.
No wonder they're all so in love with Israel.
Oh, sure.
I mean, all of these, in the, what is it, the whatever, the 30th degree, the Knights Kadosh or whatever,
yeah.
And they're, well, even before then, that they're into their initiations. What are
yeah.
you building? We're building temples.
Mm-hmm.
Physical temples and temples in men's minds. Which
yeah.
way do you travel? From Babylon to Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, and they ask them, and one of them, are you ready to be governors of Israel? Now,
mm-hmm.
that's, of course, got to be some type of code. What the heck does that mean, Alan? Are you ready to be governors of Israel?
Well, Israel is again Isis-Ra'el. Israel is the god, it's the bisexual deity, the male-female hermaphroditic god. And of course, behind all religions, it's the same deity, because their creator, as they say, is both male and female, meaning perfection. And of course, if you go into that of India, they're far more explicit in connecting the two together. That's why Shiva and so on have attributes of both male and female, and they show it openly in their statues and so on. So there's a religion behind the exoteric religion.
Yes.
And it's always been there, you know. And I think it was even Clement that said that when the mass is gone, and that's what he means by it, that's why you have a mass for the people, they're the masses. When the mass is gone, he said, we have our own secret meeting, our secret rituals, which the profane cannot see. So this has always been here, from its very inception. And as I say, to Constantine himself, just a week prior to the council that he was supposedly responsible for, he deified himself as a god in the cult of Mithra.
Constantine.
And he built a temple so that the people, and this was traditional in the Roman theology, he built a temple so that people could go and worship him, a statue of him, even while he was still alive. He was worshipped as a god. And that was traditional in ancient Greece and in Rome. So the secret religion, of course, is that they all attain godhood.
Did the people differentiate between, quote, gods and creator?
Well, not really. In the Christian religion, even though it's the Old Testament is so wishy-washy, because you have Elohim in the beginning, and then you have this later guy, this latecomer called Jehovah.
Now you're coming in.
I could also pronounce all the crazy other names or terms they use for it.
Yahweh and Yahweh and.
Oh yeah, yeah. And
did you
Jehovah
hear,
was a latecomer.
Did you hear a click on your phone?
I did, yeah.
Well, I want you to know that your voice has the volume is up.
Oh.
It's almost like you're being suppressed or something.
It's very possible, because there's a lot of technology out there that's so advanced that doing that is quite simple.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have this Elohim, And of course, the secret behind the Elohim, which everybody is confused about, and many guys have written books and made lots of money on. But the real secret is the Elohim is we, meaning the deity who's both male and female. That's what it really refers.
Is that why it says, "Let us make man in our image"?
That's right. And therefore, Adam had the attributes of the deity. He was both male and female, and then the female part was separated from him. That's the symbology.
Did they do that through surgery, do you think? Or, I mean, was the whole thing...
It's all esoteric nonsense.
Okay, but I mean, yeah. is there any truth behind that back then that man was both male and female, and that this story about Adam is being used as a representation of that?
Mm-hmm. No, there's none at all.
Definitely
had homosexual sex. Who are priests themselves. I mean, that's fairly traditional all down through the thousands of years. You would have what young guy is going to cut off his manhood, literally, and join the cult of Isis, you know? Which young guy is going to do that voluntarily and then go and spend the rest of his days with men, you know? So you always had a homosexual element who dressed as women, and that's why their robes are still the female robes, you know. When a priest stands there, he's representing male and female in one. In other words, he's reflecting their secret deity.
They probably don't wear anything under their robes either.
But this is the same in every religion.
You mentioned one time the dog priests.
Yes, uh-huh.
Those were the priests that were the ones that were used by the priests.
Yeah, they had temple prostitutes, and they had them in Israel too, because they've uncovered some parts of the old temple where you had an entrance which went into the house of prostitutes, the female ones. And then there's a little stela on the wall, a picture of the male ones on the left-hand side of the entrance. So they had both. And so did Israel. They were no different, you know.
When you say Israel, it wasn't Israel back then?
After the so-called Babylonian captivity, there was an Israel for a short time, although the Romans called that whole area Edomia.
Okay.
On their maps. You know.
Okay.
But you can still check today. They have the historical map. But they did have temple prostitutes, the same as every other mystic religion across that part of the world. And of course, the generative power of the sexual act was the closest that they claimed they came to emulating the Creator. It was a creative function.
Uh huh.
And many of them in the higher sects claimed that to have sex with the male was still closer to the deity than having sex with the female.
Oh my!
So the deviant part of it has been there for thousands and thousands of years. You know.
Well, you know, it reminds me that you had said this quite some time ago about that all of the elite. The males, they're homosexuals.
Yeah, well, it's you look at what they did, and this is the standard philosophy and history, what they did from the most ancient times to set up this particular system was to create a god and a god's wife in the heavens, you see. So in Egypt, it was Osiris and his wife Isis. And then they'd have a representative on Earth who also emulated that. So you had a human being who would be the god on Earth. That was the Pharaoh and his wife. So they wrote it into the heavens and then reenacted it on Earth, you know. In fact, the three pyramids themselves are nothing more than the belt of the constellation Orion.
We have to take our break.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And on the other side of this, I want to remember to tell our listeners, you and I talked about this recently, about John Coleman and his book, The Committee of 300, and the statement he made that confirmed what you said. And I have to run away from the mic for a couple of minutes. So when we get back, will you give your address and phone number again, Alan? Thank you.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Back. Let me do this, folks, in case you didn't get my address. It is Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, M-I-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, Pennsylvania, 16936. And once again, Alan's address, Alan Watt, W-A-T-T, Site 41, S-I-T-E, 41, Box 4, Estaire, like Fred Estaire with an E on it, E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario. The postal code is P as in Peter, 3, E as in Elizabeth, 4, N in Nancy, 1, P3E4N1, Canada. And remember that when you order the books, that you send international postal money orders. You can get them at your post office or cash, but not U.S. postal money orders. And not personal checks. The books are $25 each. And Alan's phone number is 705-695-0416. I did it right, didn't I, Alan?
You did.
I had to look at the phone.
Yeah, well, you got it.
Yeah, I got it. Well, talking about the fact that today, the majority of, maybe all, of the elite are homosexuals. And I remember that you had said that in order for them even, because if you're really a homosexual, it didn't seem to me that a man could become aroused enough to have a sexual union with his wife even to beget offspring. But you said mostly what they had to do is get themselves good and drunk.
Yeah.
Because they were actually, they're repelled by the female. And in John Coleman's book, The Committee of 300, I had a first edition volume, and in his introduction or preface of the book, he mentioned that exact thing. He said that the elite are, the male of the elite are homosexuals. And he, I think he said all of them are. And he also, at that time, mentioned that he had access to so much information because he had been a member of or agent of MI6, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Effie came to visit, she brought the book for me, and I said, well, I already have one. Noticing that hers was the third printing, I was curious to see if there would be any changes, so we sat down, and I started reading aloud, and she was following along in her copy. And what he left out, Alan, was the fact that all the elite are homosexuals.
Uh-huh.
He left it out of the third edition, and he never mentioned that he was MI6. He said because of the nature of his previous work,
mm-hmm.
that he had access to a lot. So somebody must have come down on John Coleman.
Yes, that's
right. And folks, for anybody to think that somebody is an ex or former CIA or MI6 or whatever, it's folly. Because once you are. Don't you agree with that, Alan?
Well, they say that themselves.
Yeah, well, not, and you know, you get people on radio broadcasts, you know, guests,
uh-huh.
former CIA,
yeah.
a former Illuminati,
mm-hmm.
a big, really.
Yeah, I know.
And people fall for it because they say so.
I know, yeah.
And that's when our logic has to enter in.
Mm-hmm.
And just realize that, you know, it's like people who listen to the broadcasts of people who are syndicated on a lot of different radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, George Nouri, what's his name, Art Bell?
Yeah.
They actually take these people seriously.
Yeah.
And there are others, I mean, who are, you know, purportedly in the patriot community or whatever you want to call it, alternative radio,
mm-hmm.
and when they're on 18 and 20 and 30 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
you have got, and syndicated.
Yes.
There's one particular one, I can't mention the name, but, I mean, he's been on C-SPAN, he's been on, I think if I'm not mistaken, Fox News, but the mainstream mentions him. Now, when you get a mention by mainstream, you have to know that it's one of theirs.
Well, that's correct, yeah. That's correct. You don't get an interview unless you are playing a role which they know about. So.
Yes.
And Albert Pike, you know, I can't stress it enough. I mean, he said that we supply the leaders to the people. When they need a leader, we supply them. And they always make sure it's a superstar that seems to have more info than anyone else, and that they steamroll ahead, and before you know it, they become almost a deity themselves.
I know, yeah, and they have lots of infomercials, too.
Yes, uh-huh. And so, yeah, these people are definitely backed, you know. For instance, in about March or April, there was a rabbinical protest in New York. 6,000 people, many of them rabbis, were protesting the illegality of the present Israel. They claimed that it's supposed to be Messiah-led to create a new Israel, and it hasn't happened. This was done by man. And so 6,000 of them all walked across the Brooklyn Bridge, brought everything to a standstill, and yet not one paper mentioned that fact.
Well, you know, that's all well and good, but it's sort of like Ross Perot when he was allegedly fighting the NAFTA.
Yeah.
He wasn't fighting the NAFTA. He wasn't opposing it. In fact, his slogan was not this NAFTA.
What I'm saying, though, is not one paper or media mentioned that fact at all, which tells you if the media doesn't want to hear what you got to say, that you can't get a mention.
Right.
And so when you are doing a supposed Patriot show, which is a joke anyway, the whole thing, the Patriot, I'm sorry to say it, but it's true. These guys gave you a system which, and made them believe it was yours, and that's where the patriotism comes from. And now they're simply adjusting their system into the updated version, And because people don't like change, they're getting angry about it. So they put the Pied Pipers out there to lead you, which will be up the garden path, as always, and nothing will be done except keeping you pacified or letting you blow off steam as we go through all the changes.
Yes, and my thoughts about these 6,000 people, rabbis, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, not this Israel, because it isn't Messiah-led.
Yeah.
They believe that their Messiah is going to come in with the damn sword,
mm-hmm.
and eliminate all their enemies, and they still are adherents to the Talmudic...
Well, that's the craziness of all religion, you see. I don't put them in a different bracket from anybody else. I know that the rabbis know more about the esoteric, but the followers don't, because the rabbis study the Talmud and they get to know what the inner meanings are.
Yeah, well, they lie too. There's this rabbi from Nutricarta, I think it is.
Yeah.
I heard him on John Stantmiller's broadcast several years ago, and he was saying, well, they're anti-Zionist.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, our God has commanded us to be good neighbors,
mm-hmm.
Wherever we live. That's an outright lie.
Yeah.
Because they are commanded to root out, pull down, and destroy every nation where they live as though they were captives, whether their host nation welcomes them with open arms or not.
Well, and that's where the Noahide laws come in, because it's their duty to actually try and get these laws enforced into all Gentile nations wherever they travel, that's a commandment, really. And of course
that's what I'm saying. But
mm-hmm.
See, I was getting emails saying, in fact, I did tune in,
mm-hmm.
I got a call and somebody said, you should hear this guy, he's really great. No, he wasn't, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
It was just fuzzy, warm, we're good neighbors and we love America and we're anti-Zionist.
Uh-huh.
That's BS. They might be, quote, anti-Zionist,
mm-hmm.
but they're still under the Talmudic law.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no single religion out there should have predominance over any other one or people. Yeah.
There's no religion out there that should even be.
Yeah, well, they've all been created from the same source a long time ago. And that's the triangle. That's one of the meanings of the triangle and a trinity, because they love trinities, you see. And the mystery religion had trinities for thousands of years before Jesus. And one of the trinities, of course, is Judaism, Christianity, and Mohammedism.
Yeah.
The three of them, that's your three main religions.
And they're, on the Internet, you see all kinds of stuff
uh-huh.
about, the evils of the Muslim religion and
yeah.
et cetera. And the people that are doing this don't even realize it, that Christianity and Talmudism has been combined.
Yes, uh-huh.
It's all one.
Sure. Yeah. Well, legality always wins over, and that was why they combined the Old Testament with the New, because the more you condition people into a culture, and it's culture shaping, you see. That's why you give them a specific religion that's generally promoted by the royalty or whoever's at the top, and it's designed to have a function, a purpose, and to take the people to a certain destination, a fulfillment, if you like, of a plan. And millions of people go along with it all because they're simply trained to do that.
Well, what I...
At a very early age.
Yes, what I noticed as I was writing the book, Jewish Persecution, and what I became aware of is that Christianity and Talmudism are not opposites. They're parallel,
yeah.
and the people are on a parallel path,
yeah.
the Christians and the Jews, and that path isn't going to cross. It's going to merge.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually,
the updated Muslim world, once the job is finished in the Middle East, they'll merge too. Yeah.
Well, that's the intention.
Yeah, the Trinity always merges. That's
sure.
why you have three in one, you know.
Yeah, and you look at the Christians waiting for Jesus. You know, he's coming back,
yeah.
and he's going to have his kingdom. The seat of his kingdom is going to be in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you've got the Jews on the same parallel path. They're waiting for their Messiah who has not come yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be the one that's going to rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that you read in their websites on the Noahide laws, etc.,
yeah.
one of the things they're telling the Jews, some of the most, what are they, questions, most frequently asked questions,
mm-hmm.
Why hasn't our Messiah come?
Yeah.
And they said, because the world is not ready for him yet,
mm-hmm.
and the world will not be ready for him until the Christians have become Hasidic Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
and that would be under the Noahide laws.
Yeah.
And so it's their duty, their mandate, to proselytize and bring people in, convincing them that this is the true, quote, religion. And, of course, then you have Christian, so-called Christian pastors. And some of them on the air 20 and 30 hours a week actually getting their followers to observe the Talmudic holidays.
Well, sheep go into the pasture, and that's what a pastor means. He's looking after sheep, you know. And you can't do anything about it because sheep follow. That's all they do is follow. And they will go willingly into whatever the guys at the top decide for them. And it's unfortunate, but that's the truth. I mean, that's why they call the man the pastor.
Well, there are some people waking up.
Uh-huh.
I know that from phone calls that I get from people.
Mm-hmm.
And you've said that you've had some really great phone calls from people
yeah.
who suddenly just, it suddenly hits them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about this last night, that, you know, I'm not sitting here, quote, Bible bashing, Christian bashing, which is evidently to some people it sounds like what I'm doing. And I wouldn't even, Alan, I wouldn't even be talking about this
mm-hmm.
because it is so sensitive
yeah.
for people, you know, who are really steeped in it. Now, I was raised up in the Lutheran Church. I mean, it wasn't like I didn't have religion, but I knew that there was stuff that we weren't being told. I knew there was, it just wasn't making sense to me.
Yeah.
But the only reason that I do this is because I see that it is the engine that is driving this plan for world dominion.
Yeah.
And it's so important.
Yeah.
And I would not intentionally offend or hurt somebody's feelings or tick people off just to do it. It would be nice if we didn't have to talk about this.
Well, when you have people going along with it, then they become part of your problem or my problem because they're giving their power to this system. And whether we agree with it or not, we're supposed to go along with it or else. You know? And I don't like that either. We all have a right to say what we know and what we think. And if it hurts their feelings, then that's just too bad. If they're so brainwashed into this double-speak religion, a God of vengeance and a God who loves you. Well, that is their problem.
Yeah, a God of vengeance, a God who loves you.
Yeah.
I'll curse you if you don't follow every one of my bloody statutes.
Yeah.
And I'll bless you if you do.
Yeah. And I'll make rich ones to lord over you, and I can make rich whoever I want to. I'll have my favorites if I want them. And I admire guys who can steal titles and property from others, because that's the whole story that they give you. where Jacob gets the blessing that was supposed to be put on his brother. He cheated his old dad out of it by pretending
he was the brother. Yeah, I thought that was a really pathetic story.
Well, you know,
when you read about it,
it's a good story for that type of a conniving and cunning.
That a father would reject the gift of one son,
mm-hmm.
and accept the gift of the other.
Yeah, a half blind old man.
Yeah, and not only that, but the one son, wasn't he offering the fruits of his labors from the land?
That's right. What it symbolizes is the man of nature. It's not real people, you see.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure there
and
must
of course,
be.
What it also symbolizes is the one who has cunning and uses his intelligence but not his muscle to work. And therefore, it's his right to take advantage of the schmucks, you know.
Yeah.
That's the lesson there. That's what the lesson is.
And people who believe that story,
mm-hmm.
then in their minds, they would want to be like the son who was blessed.
Yes. Uh-huh.
The liar.
Yep.
The one that's cunning and...
The deceiver, yeah.
The deceiver, uh-huh.
And if God says that's okay, then that's okay with them.
Well,
they cannot complain when the government comes and steals whatever they have.
You know, it's like the story about Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah.
And, you know, they waited 100 years to have a son. And but meantime...
Yeah, she wasn't quite sure she wanted one.
Meantime, Hagar, her handmaiden, she sends him in to Abraham to have a son. And then when, what was his name? Isaac,
mm-hmm.
their son was born. She got jealous.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted, what's his name out of the way? What was his name? Born to Hagar.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, you know who I mean. Well, you read that in the Old Testament, and the Lord said to Abraham, and this is my, of course, paraphrasing, but it's like, okay, it was fine that he impregnated this woman and had a child by her. But then when Isaac was born, Sarah didn't want them around.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord said to Abraham, get him out of here.
Yeah.
Put her on an ass,
mm-hmm.
and put him on an ass and send them away. Don't upset Sarah. Alan, when you read that, that is so pathetically sick to believe mm-hmm. that, quote, creator or God would be that lacking in compassion.
Yeah. However, the ones who belong to this mystery religion and who believe that they are gods would do these things because they have no compassion for anyone outside their system.
But there are people who claim to be Christians,
mm-hmm.
who take a lot of stock in those Old Testament stories. In fact, it seems to me that Christians are more in love with the Old Testament
yeah.
than they are with the
mm-hmm.
little 10% of the Bible, the Gospels, which I know that isn't all there anyway, but to read that and believe it,
yeah.
that is very sad to me, because your heart tells you, I mean, your heart knows, or our inner knowing, that isn't our creator.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't do that to somebody.
No. But a mafia boss would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they say, well, God can do anything he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they slough it off.
Yeah.
But I
don't waste my time with these people, because you see, when indoctrination takes, it's like an inoculation. They have that term, well, the inoculation has taken, meaning it's supposed to work. Well, it's the same with indoctrination. The ones who come from even abusive families, and it doesn't have to be physical abuse. Abuse of the mind is generally the first thing that happens. They grow up almost being obsessional with rules, regulations, and laws.
And abusive laws.
Yes, and so they gravitate right into that whole thing, because the God that's presented in the Old Testament is a very human almost an alcoholic personality. You know, come here, go away. I want to cuddle you, but today, or I might just turn around and smack you. See, that's the ambivalence of this deity, because it was basically an Oriental king that they molded the whole thing on. You know, a despot basically. So it's nothing to do with a creator at all. It's a man-made religion, and within that man-made religion, there's an esoteric religion which is taught everywhere to select groups.
Well, you know, when I realized it, how important it is to have these conversations,
uh-huh.
And it was a long time ago, Alan, because I remember it had to have been around in 98, because I was doing the broadcast at 6 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
And I remember one of our listeners who called in, and he said, I love listening to you, and you're so inspiring, and et cetera. But he said, Jackie, don't you understand? This is God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the book.
Yeah.
And I gulped. I gulped and thought, oh, my goodness. And when I got off the air that evening, I said, Chuck, we have met the enemy, and he is us.
Uh-huh.
And I think one of the most dangerous books in this world is the Holy Bible.
Well, that's why it's on every Masonic temple. You know, I mean, they have it on the altar, that black book, the book of the law. Is black, you see. That's why, that's what it means. Saturn is always dressed in black. That's why you have black priests and black priests and rabbis and so on. And so their book is black, because that's the Saturnalian law.
Well, for any of our listeners who are listening, I just want you to know that these conversations would not be being had if it wasn't very clear in my mind that it is the engine that is driving, and that will, if enough people don't wake up to the lies, it will help to implement their plan for world dominion.
Well, the purpose of all psychological warfare is to disarm the enemy's mind prior to anything occurring. And, of course, when they say, well, it's written in the Bible, it's God's plan, you know.
It's the infallible word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible seems to be worshipped.
Oh, it is, especially the King James Version.
Yes, that's the one.
I think that's the one that Jesus used.
That's the one and only. We're out of our hour.
Uh-huh.
Alan, thanks for being here. Would you stay on the line?
Sure, yeah.
When we go off? Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you tomorrow night. And thank you for being here with us tonight. And I pray that your minds and your ears and your eyes are opened, and that you will consider the conversation. And, you know, maybe if you get Alan's book, that might help a lot when you see the ancient records that he has in the book. It's all there. We'll be back with you tomorrow night. Thank you.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank